Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Clinch a playoff berth. What's your message for this week and your message for the next 2 games?
Well, just unfinished business. I can't focus on the next two weeks. We got to focus on this week and going on the road to a great environment. I'm going to New York City, playing the Jets, and no unfinished business. We want to be undefeated on the road. I think that's something that's unique. Sure, you guys will tell me how many times it's happened before, but there you go. So that's something that I think is special. Still want to play for the division. We want to win the division.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
A rather snippy but still winning Mike Vrabel welcomes us into WEEI Afternoons. It's just after 2 o'clock here on Tuesday, December 23rd, 2025. No Andy Hart, no Nick Fitzy Stevens. No Ted Johnson here on this Tuesday afternoon. Dan Ball with you. And joining me here for this pre-holiday or during the holiday show here on WEEI Afternoons, you hear him across the Red Sox radio network. You hear him broadcasting many a game within New England. Must be a holiday show because Joe Weil's in town. What's up, Joe? How are you, man?
Great to be with you, my man. And we were making the joke, you know, before we hopped on for today's show. If I didn't know when Christmas was, I would know we were at least around it doing a show with you. But great to be back. And, you know, I think about we did a couple shows last year around this time and just how much has changed around these parts in a year's span. It's been a lot of fun to kind of watch unfold, and I'm really excited to talk about it with you today.
So it was you and me and Cooper Boardman on December 26th, 2024. 300, and I guess that makes it 362 days ago. So to reset the scene for you, the Patriots were at the bottom of the standings, and instead of talking about what we've talked about the last couple weeks, I think they'd be better off facing the Jaguars or the Texans or the Bills or the Chargers in whatever potential wild card round that you get. We were talking about, here are the games you have to lose. Here's how much you have to lose by in order to get yourself to the top of the draft board, potentially get your hands on Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, or God forbid you get down to the fourth spot and get Will Campbell. That was the spot that we were in a year ago, and Brian Frazoco, who's on the board with us this afternoon, dug up something from our show 362 days ago just to paint a good picture of how miserable we were at that time.
But he did it.
Congratulations. You made the obvious pick for a franchise quarterback after you blew the development of a guy that also wasn't very talented in Mac Jones. So we promoted ourselves from an F to a D minus because they drafted the quarterback in front of them.
They didn't screw that up.
You know what? Everything's fine. You guys are in great shape. Patriots 2026. Super Bowl champions. Gas up those duck boats. And Elliot Wolf is going to be on stage there with Roger Goodell waving the Lombardi trophy in our face going, see, I told you. So there's a lot to get to there. That was the day after Christmas last year. The segment you and I and Cooper must have been doing was, okay, so here is how we grade what the Patriots have done so far this season. And I just made this flippant, clearly very sarcastic in the mold of Mike Vrabel comment about the Patriots potentially being 2026 Super Bowl champions. And wouldn't you know it, Joe? Not to say that they're the odds-on favorite, but there's a conversation to be had about that being true this season.
It's amazing. And right, it was a complete joke. And yet here we are after the 4-win season from last year. And as we were talking about, and you heard me say it very briefly there, I'll give him a D. It's just because Drake May was holding up that draft class from 2024 and just how brutal it was. It's amazing that we are now a year removed from that, roughly a year removed from that. And this team is in the position that it's in right now. Nobody would have expected it. With where they are, obviously 12 wins right now and gunning for that number one seed. And you put it in our chat today for as we're planning out the show. I mean, it is amazing that they have the best odds right now. Not that they have it right now, but the best odds right now to get that number one seed in the AFC. It has been one of the more incredible turnarounds we've seen in these parts in recent memory. It's happened so fast, and it's just amazing. You change out the head coach, who we all realized, I think by that point, that Jerod Mayo was just not the right fit. And we had already been talking about in that show, okay, who do you want to replace him with? We talked about Ben Johnson. We talked about Mike Vrabel. And it was pretty apparent, okay, they need to take a step up in that category. But I don't think any of us, as much as we love Drake May and what we saw in snippets there in that rookie season when he had nothing around him, Alex Van Pelt is his offensive coordinator. It is amazing the leap he's taken to get to this point where we're talking about him in the MVP conversation. We're talking about him as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And especially in the landscape of the AFC, and especially with the couple teams right now that the Patriots are gunning for with that number one seed, it's the Broncos and the Jags right now. I would take Drake May over those quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence has been playing better. Bo Nix still doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in me. But Drake May is that dude. And I just... It's amazing, and especially where people are so thankful around these, you know, this time of the year, you get gifts, all this stuff. I mean, this is such a gift for this region to have this good a quarterback this quickly after Brady. I know we had Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi. That was not fun. And Jacoby Brissett coming back.
Still not fun.
Still not fun.
Yeah.
Although he's actually, I know that, I think the Cardinals are 1-9 in his starts.
Yeah.
Out in Arizona. He has been playing.
He set the record for most completions, I think it was, in a regular season game or something wild. They lost the game. Don't forget they lost the game. Yeah. But anyways, that's been interesting to watch.
Right, exactly. So, but to me, where this has gotten, we're talking about them as a number one seed and also the field right now in the AFC, because I think that's a big part of the conversation. If there is any year to make a Super Bowl run, even though this is just a year two quarterback, it might be this year considering you don't have Mahomes, you don't have Burrow in the playoffs, Lamar's hurt again, and okay, you have Josh Allen out there with this Bills team that's trailing you right now in the standings. Like this is, might be the time right now for this Patriots team.
Yeah, that Bills team that you talk about that just beat you 2 weeks ago, then turns around and only sneaks by the Cleveland Browns 23-20. So you don't know if you're getting that Super Bowl caliber team in Buffalo or you're getting just a run of the mill, barely making the playoffs kind of team. But you could join the conversation at any point today, 617-779-7937. We're beginning with the New England Patriots, still coming off of the excitement from a victory in Baltimore, standalone primetime game, another great performance from Drake May in a primetime game, and the Patriots pick up a victory. Let's start short term and then kind of work long term. You watched and then rewatched this Sunday night football contest. We got the chance, Brian and I and the guys in the afternoon show yesterday, to break down six ways to Sunday. What were some of the main takeaways you had from Sunday's game?
I think first and foremost that Drake May is the best deep ball thrower in the NFL. I mean that throw he made to Kyle Williams in the fourth quarter was phenomenal, and it's amazing too because the stats back that up. He's plus 62.6 EPA on deep attempts this year. That's the most in the NFL, and I thought this was interesting, plus 20.6 more than any other Patriots quarterback in the last decade.
Crazy.
This is according to ESPN stats and info.
Yeah.
The, the completion percentage part of it, too, the fact that he can hit the short throws and that fourth and two to Diggs on the drive that gave them the lead, like, he's so cool under pressure. I know there were moments in that Bills game, especially that last drive, where he was just missing on throws. Like, that was... That, and again, the context of that's interesting because obviously the defense, you know, they let that game go in the second half. That, and I was going to just say, that part of that game, and then the Raiders game, that first game, which I still can't believe they lost to the Raiders.
Makes no sense.
Thinking back on this season, but he was not good in that game too, yeah. Drake May. But outside of that, the fact that he can hit the deep ones and he can hit the short ones, to me, this was just another example of, one, he can handle the primetime games, 4-0 in those. But on top of that, it just seems to me that the warts are so small with Drake May that there's no reason he can't lead this team on a deep run this year. I think the only things that can hold him back, and I know we'll get into this today, is that wide receiver group, which I think to their credit, Diggs has been amazing, and Mac Hollins has had his moments too, and we talked about Williams when he makes the catches. I mean, those deep throws, it's really worked out. But there are parts of this team that can still hold him back. Hopefully they can get healthier too. But to me, what that Ravens game showed me is that they can win important games, answer the questions that we all ask. Yes, they lost the Bills, but it's okay. Can you rebound and win the one that is going to silence the doubters, especially about this schedule? And they were able to do that. And again, I know the Lamar injury part of this conversation there's a little bit there. But at the same token, to me, you still won that game. And on top of that, it just adds to the intrigue about the AFC playoff picture, because now that he's hurt again,
yeah,
right? Again, the sea is open for this group to make a deep run. So to me, it further added to my belief in this team that they can make a deep run and they should at least win one playoff game. I think that's where I stand on this year's group, Dan. I think they should win at least one.
They should win one. And what's the other half of that sentence? It's they should win one in order for it to be considered a successful season, or can they simply just win one for the sake of they're better than the other teams around them in the AFC? They have a quarterback that's leaps and bounds better, because I've gone back and forth on that. And I think the group on the afternoon show has gone back on and forth on that as well. Is have you elevated yourself? We had the same conversation about the Red Sox this year. Have you elevated yourself to the point that if you say you end up with the number two seed in the AFC, you play a wild card game, you lose a home game to the Houston Texans, or you lose to the Bills again and you go 1-2 over a three game series, does that render the 2025 season for the Patriots null and void? Because to me, it doesn't.
No, I agree.
So they should still be winning a game in the playoffs, you say?
I think so, because I think if you look at, you look at like the playoff picture, right, in the NFL, and I think if you're going to get one of those high seeds, right, so you're thinking about the teams that you could be playing in the first round. Now, what would be intriguing if it somehow got there, and I'm trying to figure out how that would happen, but like if the Pats played the Bills, somehow in week one, or yeah, in the first round of the
Buffalo
playoffs.
Would have to see. So right now, just to set it up quickly, Broncos still have the one seed. And according to ESPN's model, they have a 35.9% to earn the number one seed entering the playoffs. Patriots have the best odds right now. These are updated numbers, 44.5%. And then you have the Jaguars at 13.6, who have very quietly usurped the Colts, come onto the scene hot, and Trevor Lawrence is quietly having a career-defining season. So they're at 13.6%. Steelers can't get it. Bills 4.3. Then you have the Chargers and the Texans, all with kind of middling numbers to potentially get that number one seed. So those three wild cards that you're talking about, Bills at 5, Chargers at 6, Texans at 7. The Bills would probably have to have a pretty rough end of the season, but I guess there is a chance mathematically. Anything's possible at this point.
But I do think that they should... How do you feel about the Texans? If they played the Texans somehow in the first round.
That is the team I want them to face the least.
Because of the defense?
Because of the defense and the fact that it's multifaceted. Where, ironically enough, the Bills, the Chargers, and the Texans have three of the six best pass defenses in the league this year in terms of opponent yards given up. So they all do that well. The one thing about the Texans is that they can also stop the run.
Yep.
They can also get pressure on the, like, I mean, they sacked Josh Allen 8 times when those teams played this year. So I look at Houston being a team that really doesn't give you an inch. So that's fear number one for me. I don't know where you stand.
I think I'm with you. And the Chargers, to me, maybe it's just because it's the Chargers, right? And like, I got to get over name bias.
Yeah.
They don't scare me as much as maybe they should.
Sure.
Even though Herbert's had an MVP type of season as well, kind of flown under the radar there a little bit in this whole conversation where we were talking a lot about Matthew Stafford and obviously Drake May.
He ended up being a Pro Bowl. Trevor Lawrence not, but he ended up being that third Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah. And I think that's a worthwhile pick because he's incredible. But I still think, again, I know strength of schedule has played a big role in where the Patriots are right now, you know, being 12-3, but I'm of the belief at the same time you play who's on the schedule, and teams that aren't good don't win as many games as the Patriots do. And just to add on top of that too, it's not like they're squeaking by in these games. And it's actually, if you think about another second-year quarterback leading a team, think of Caleb Williams and what's happening with the Bears right now. I mean, the Bears, I just want to make sure I have their point differential right. It's at plus 33 now, but it was a couple games ago. I mean, it was way lower because they won so many close games. We saw it again,
right?
You know, against the Packers.
What a game.
An incredible game. The Patriots, to their credit, they're not just beating bad teams in a sizable part of their schedule. They're plus 110, which is actually the best point differential in the AFC, third best in the NFL.
It's right. Part of the reason Drake May didn't have a comeback win until Sunday.
Didn't have the chance to.
Right.
And it's also, you could take that. That's Brian Frazoka, by the way. Good afternoon, Brian. How are you?
How's it going, boys?
Were you doing cartwheels on that Packers and Bears game on Sunday?
That was
or Saturday?
A fun one for, I would say, 2 minutes of that game, but for the most part, it was just same old story. And, you know, it was one of those where you just sort of felt like they were never going to exercise the demons until they finally did.
Yeah, that's fair. Brian, I have a question as a Bears fan.
Sure.
Did the Patriots get the right head coach between Mike Vrabel and Ben Johnson based on what you've seen from Ben Johnson?
I think you sort of couldn't go wrong with either of them. I know that's sort of the cop-out answer.
No, but it's a fair one.
I think it was sort of good for both. I think the Patriots and Bears both needed sort of a whole new locker room restructure. You know, both of the teams were bad, and, you know, I think the Bears had more talent. They just sort of needed somebody to kind of corral Caleb Williams and sort of teach him sort of to just calm down and get back to some of the fundamentals that I think sort of got beat out of him last year just because that team was just so god-awful and so poorly coached.
Yeah.
But I think with the Patriots, I think it was not just Vrabel, I think McDaniels was a huge addition as well.
Right.
So I want to say both of them just kind of nailed it. And I know it's sort of easy to say now when you look at the two records, but I felt like each of the two coaches was sort of the right decision. I don't know if the Bears would have the same success with Vrabel, though. I really don't. I don't know if Vrabel would be able to tap into them the way that Ben Johnson has, because I don't think he would have hired McDaniels if he went anywhere else. I think McDaniels went with Vrabel here because, and we talked about this a lot last week, I don't know if that was necessarily Vrabel's first choice as offensive coordinator.
Right, and we got our fair share of guff for suggesting that maybe they weren't completely on the same page. God forbid that two coaches that were seemingly hired by the same person don't agree 100% on everything. And the reason I asked Brian that is, A, he's a Bears fan, so it relates, but B, we were having that conversation last year between Vrabel and Johnson, and I think I landed on Team Ben Johnson just because I thought the same kind of miracles that he was working, that he is working on Caleb Williams this year, he could also work on Drake May, but that is all revisionist history.
I think the story could even shift to Liam Cohen, because, you know, you can make the argument Caleb Williams just sort of had an up and down rookie year. Trevor Lawrence has sort of underachieved for, what, 4 years leading up to this season, and now it finally looks like he's the franchise quarterback that they selected number one overall. To me, Liam Cohen may have done the best job out of all of them, not to mention the guy that they traded their future for, Travis Hunter, has barely played this season.
Right.
He's been out, I want to say, since week 5 or 6, and he's done for the season. They've been doing all of this without their first overall pick.
And Brian Thomas, I mean, for people that play fantasy know this, he's been barely a factor for them this year. Who could have imagined that, right? That Hunter would be hurt, Brian Thomas wouldn't be that big in their passing game, and yet they would that Trevor Lawrence would take the leaps that he has this year, and on top of that, the team. But listen, Brian's saying we're both geniuses. We were both right last year. We could just close the book on the next 3 hours and 40 minutes.
617-779-7937 is the phone number if you want to get in touch with us. Look, we have a lot to get to on today's show. Joe and I both were lucky enough to be part of the Red Sox radio network this past season. So we'll spend some time in the 4 o'clock hour reacting to what Craig Breslow had to say yesterday. He spoke to the media following following the acquisition of Wilson Contreras as the Red Sox tried to model themselves after a team that won 78 games last year. So why not add Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras and then kick the tires on Brendan Donovan? So there were some interesting comments in a conversation to be had about their level of spending related to the CBT and just how much more work there is to do with the roster. So we'll get into that. Jaylen Brown also happened to mention that the 2025-26 Boston Celtics season is his favorite so far. A guy who it seems like every time we talk about him, it's either a 30-point performance, MVP caliber performance out of him, or something strange that he said to the media or on a stream. So we'll get into that. We have Red Sox and Patriots on the table. We also have our three-point stance on the drive coming up at 5 o'clock. So the Patriots proved to you, Joe Weil, on Sunday that they are a Super Bowl contender, playoff contender. What's the end of that sentence to you?
Super Bowl contender.
Okay. Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Slightly. Okay. I think the reason I say that is that it's not a team, it's not a perfect team. It's not a team that, especially with no pedigree coming into this year in terms of what this era has done, there's not a lot you can fall back on. But again, to me, looking at the AFC playoff picture, and then on top of that, having a quarterback that I feel really confidently about, and I would say more confidently than any other quarterback in the AFC outside of Josh Allen, that's where I have confidence in this team moving forward, and especially that they won a game like they did in Baltimore. They've beaten the Bills once before. They should have beaten them a second time.
Yes.
And to me, that's better than getting blown out by a team. I'm always curious how people feel about that, but I feel better about a team that has a big lead and then gives it up rather than just being smoked by the team, because then it's like, okay, you're not even on the same playing field in that game. That wasn't what happened. They just blew it late.
Right.
And hopefully you get Milt Williams back soon to help, you know, rectify the defense, which, again, was killed by the running game against the Bills that second time out.
So to me, what they proved week over week between Buffalo and Baltimore is a really interesting microcosm of what their season has been, where the expectation at the beginning of the season versus the expectation now, completely different. Drake May, what we thought about him at the beginning of the season is completely different than what we think now. Even the little individual parts of Drake May's game, the ability to sense pressure and move within the pocket and move the pocket and step up and not make the dumb decision that almost gets him hurt or ends up turning the ball over. He still turns the ball over. He still has a little bit of that gunslinger wild child in him that we all know and love, but that has been improved. And it seems like every time that he's had the chance to learn something from a mistake, he has. I thought the Patriots' ability to learn from two offensive drives that stalled out down the stretch against Buffalo, because you're right, their defense put them behind the eight ball in that game. But that shouldn't take away from the fact that you had two drives down 4 points and Drake completed one pass combined between the two
and
of them.
And the throws were all over the place. Again, that last drive, I couldn't believe it. I remember I was actually at Stats in South Boston, and I remember saying to a buddy, I'm like, okay, this is going to be it. This is going to be the moment here. I had a ton of confidence in Drake May. And then it fizzled out in a way I just didn't expect in that game. And especially after Buffalo had their own three and out in a moment where they could have taken over and put that game to bed. But to then see him respond in the fourth quarter on the road against Baltimore and then do it the way he did, where again, it was the variation of the different types of throws that he was hitting, to me, again, has me thinking more confidently about this team and again about this dude himself specifically. The questions that we have, they continue to be answered as the year has gone on. Now, we're blowing smoke up, as you know what, and for good reason, while having still not accomplished anything in terms of doing anything in the playoffs.
Right.
But I just don't think if this team loses in the playoffs, I don't think it's going to be because their quarterback underperformed. And there are other teams in this conference where I don't feel that. I feel differently about.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I Bo Nix, again, to me, I know the Broncos, they still have that one seed, but I feel way better about Drake May than Bo Nix, even though he's had his own fourth quarter comebacks this year. But I just feel so much better about the guy that's playing here in New England compared to him. Obviously, I'd feel that way about, you know, Aaron Rodgers at this stage in the game. And then even somebody like Justin Herbert, who is as good as he is in the regular season, he's had his own playoff failures too. So it's obviously that history is not there with Drake May, and especially in those like big type of games, even go back to like college too. But to me, he has answered those questions in the regular season to a point where that if they're going to lose, it's not going to be because of him. And that's such a luxury for an NFL team to have.
How did Drake and the Patriots' performance leave you feeling after Sunday night's game? 617-779-7937. More or less confident in their ability to take on a team, potentially, probably, definitely at home, and win a playoff game this season? Join the conversation via call and via text. When we return, we'll discuss the one area of the roster that Joe mentioned earlier still concerns him a little bit of that offense. It's the wide receivers, and it's Stephon Diggs, and how they match up against playoff teams down the stretch. We'll talk about that after Brian Frazoco get you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Boston Celtics won their third straight game last night as they took down the Pacers 103-95 behind 31 points from Jaylen Brown. The Celtics improved to 18-11 on the season and will travel to Indiana for a rematch with the Pacers on Friday with tip-off at 7 o'clock. Following the Bruins' blowout loss to the Senators on Sunday, Boston will hit the ice tonight to host the Montreal Canadiens at TD Garden with puck drop at 7 o'clock. Jeremy Swayman will be between the pipes for the Bees. The 49ers blew out the Colts last night on Monday Night Football behind 5 touchdown passes from Brock Purdy as San Francisco advances to 11-4 on the season. 49ers defensive end Keon White was active for his 7th game last night, which means the Patriots will get to keep the conditional 7th round pick they sent in his trade package. Patriots begin preparation for the Jets this Sunday, and according to Mike Vrabel, the team will open the 21-day practice window for defensive tackle Milton Williams. And according to Mike Reese, Milton Williams spoke on his return to practice this week saying, quote, "I'm feeling good, just have to see how it responds. If all goes well, it will be a good thing for the Patriots." And finally, the NFL Pro Bowl selections have been announced, and only 2 Patriots have been selected, those being quarterback Drake May and cornerback Christian Gonzalez. I'm Brian Frazoco. That's what's trending now on WEEI and on WEEI.com.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Steph, when you signed here in the spring, when you signed in New England in the spring, could you imagine this moment, this day, this kind of game?
No, not at all. I mean, I obviously imagine the game just because we had a great group of guys in OTAs and training camp. You saw how many guys can make plays, and I was just so excited to be around those guys around that time in OTAs. You know, I didn't spend too much time doing OTAs. I never did, so I just looked at it as a we all getting together around like that training camp time. We just started meshing really well and like building that bond as like a brotherhood. So it's not nothing. I always take it one game at a time. I never look too far in the future. But you know, as this game and as this, you know, just life teaches you, stay patient, stay consistent. It'll all work out how it's supposed to.
Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs welcomes us back into WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball and Joe Weil, and for the guys, Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson, they are off for the holiday. Andy and Fitzy will be back next Monday for a Patriots Monday. Worth mentioning that. But for the time being, you got the two of us and Brian Verzocco back behind the glass, and you at 617-779-7937. So when I was watching the post-game breakdown, everybody's got a microphone in their face talking about the game, but This was more of a meta question that was asked Stephon Diggs' way after the game. Of course, the Patriots clinch a playoff berth. They're now on the cusp of winning the AFC East title, their first since 2019. And the question was, could you imagine the Patriots being a playoff team when you signed in New England? And it called to mind a similar time than what you and I were talking about off the top. December into January into February of last year, where guys like Tommy Curran were calling New England football Siberia, a place that nobody wanted to be. And, you know, there were people who probably thought that was being maybe overly dramatic, and the dollar will speak over all. If you pay a guy enough money, he'll want to come here. But Stephon Diggs signed as a member of the New England Patriots knowing that, or at least believing that, this wasn't going to be a playoff team. He was willingly joining a team that seemed to be going through a rebuild. They hired a new coach. They have a second-year quarterback. They're basically redoing the redo this year. And either because of lack of options or the interest in the opportunity of being a wide receiver one, he chose to sign here. And I found it interesting to hear that recognition of, I didn't think we were going to be a playoff team, to pair it with how his reputation has changed throughout his time in New England. Because if you remember, Joe, you know, when we started during training camp, it was missing workouts. It was the pink bag of drugs. It was working out but on my own and posting Instagram clips of it. And is he healthy? Is he back? Does he want to be here? And then as camp goes along, now you're starting to see, oh, he's leading drills. Oh, he's becoming a more prominent voice in the wide receiver room. And now we watch him. He's the guy that's breaking the team down. He's speaking on behalf of the team. He's looking with the googly eyes at Drake when he's on the postgame. So I just thought that comment of maybe where his mindset was coming into his time in New England compared to now shows a tremendous growth between the team and the player and where we stand right now.
So you recapping that as beautifully as you just did, it made me want to pose this question to you about Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
What has surprised you more about him this season? The fact that he has been as good as he's been for this locker room and has been the leader that he's been, or is it the actual production on the field, considering he's coming off the ACL tear, and it's obviously been significant? 76 catches, 869 yards after this last game against the Ravens, in which he had 9 catches for 138 yards. What part of it has been more surprising to you? Because, I mean, the fact that it's both, to me, is amazing considering where we were in training camp and you recapping all of it to where we are now. What part of that surprises you the most?
I think if you were going to pick one that you thought had the better chance of being true come the end of December, it would for sure be the performance on the field. And I looked at the way that his targets were distributed so far this season. He's got 6 games this year where he's gotten either 3 or 4 targets, which is really not getting involved. And it was the last, I believe it was the last 3, he was in that category, to the point where we had conversations on the show last week, like, is this happening by design? Is there some nefarious plot afoot where you're trying to suppress his targets and his receptions for the sake of paying out bonuses? The hell's going on here? He also has 3 games with 10 or more targets, and that's what happened last weekend. So I think the kind of boom or bust, but when you look at it from a season-long perspective, productive season, I would have seen that coming. I really did not think that he was going to become seemingly the vocal leader of the Patriots locker room. Now, I didn't have the kind of concerns that other people did with his time ending in Minnesota and his time ending in Buffalo so poorly, because that was 3 or 4 years down the line. Specific to Buffalo, they had a change in play caller, he had a change in role, and it just kind of got stale. I didn't have a worry that he was going to be a negative. I certainly didn't think he was going to be this much of a positive in terms of the culture the Patriots are trying to build.
See, I'm on the performance side of this because I think it's because he was, you know, he's 32 coming off a pretty significant injury.
Yeah.
And I had concerns about the fit in the locker room and you know, you mentioned the Bills thing. We were just talking to Brian about this actually before we hopped on. You hit on very valid points as to kind of why it fizzled out. To me, what was always intriguing about that is that, yes, there was a change in his role. And I do remember in his final season, you know, specifically with the Bills, he wasn't getting as many targets. And they kind of changed the offense there. That being said, you still have Josh Allen as your quarterback, which is like, it's still a heaven, so to speak, in terms of just having that type of talent. And we saw what it did for Diggs in his career, too. I mean, he was good with the Vikings. He took a whole nother level up in Buffalo. And you have to credit Diggs in part for what happened with Josh Allen in his career to just get that wide receiver in to Buffalo in year three with Josh Allen. But I just didn't expect him to be this good still. You know, this good of a receiver at this stage in the game. And that's why when the Patriots signed him, I thought, okay, it's a big name. He's obviously had a hell of a career. But I felt like that was one of those, okay, he's kind of past his prime. And yeah, he technically is still, even as good as he's been. But I didn't think he'd bring it to the level that he has and has really been the difference maker in some of the specific games that you mentioned and as we were talking about it against Buffalo. I am shocked by that. And maybe I was underselling where he's at coming off of this injury, and I maybe just underplayed the fact that he could be this type of game changer for an offense that did kind of need that leading guy. You know, as much as all of these receivers have stepped up, so to speak, in their own way, with still room for improvement, which I know we're going to talk about throughout today's show, but the fact that he could be the leader of a group on that end that's 12-3, just from a production standpoint, I didn't see that. And that's where, on top of the leadership stuff, I am really impressed by that. He's still got, like, you watch him, he's like, he's got some, he clearly has some juice left in the tank in a way that I didn't expect.
So we know more or less what you get from Stephon Diggs. We also know that during the course of the season, Mac Hollins has become really the non-tight end security blanket for Drake May. Since it did not have a game above 4 targets until week 8 against Cleveland, since then, 2, but then 10, 5, 6, 4, 8, and 9. Wasn't targeted once in the first Buffalo game, targeted 8 times last week, just to show the growth and the trust between those two. You got Kyle Williams, who, if he catches the ball, it's kind of sick.
It's always going to be sick.
He has 7 receptions and 3 of them have gone for touchdowns. Unreal. Kayshon Booty has seemingly taken a step back in his productivity, but you got Hunter Henry. So that's the group of targets, or the main group of targets, for Drake May. Brian Frazoco, I ask you, is that group good enough going into a playoff game against the teams that you're expecting the Patriots might face in a wild card matchup?
The group is good enough if Drake May is who everybody's telling me he is, which is an MVP candidate, which he is, which is a top 5 quarterback in the league, which he's playing at right now. So I think it all depends on Drake May. I sent in the email earlier today. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs once they got rid of Tyreek Hill, right? They still had Travis Kelce, who's obviously a household name and was even before he was dating Taylor Swift and now engaged to her. He was always a household name. But other than that, he was throwing to a lot of guys that, if you asked a lot of people who weren't diehard football fans, who's Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
Right.
Who's, you know, earlier on, Rashee Rice? Who's Mecole Hardman? Patrick Mahomes was winning Super Bowls with a lot of wide receivers who either aren't on the team anymore or who still are but aren't getting a lot of playing time. But that's Patrick Mahomes. So can Drake May get the same kind of production that Mahomes did out of those receivers with lesser talent? I think, you know, Diggs is still a very good number 2. I don't know if he's a true number 1 on a team, but if Drake May can play to the level that, you know, these elite quarterbacks played at and won at, then yeah, they are good enough. I think the big question is Drake May there at his development? There's no shame in saying he's not Patrick Mahomes yet, but can he elevate some of the talent that's around him? I don't know if he can at a playoff level yet.
Joe, where do you fall on this?
Yeah, we talked about this in the opening segment. I think if this team is going to be held back in any way, I think it is going to be in part this wide receiver room. Now, again, Drake May has elevated this group. And let's also give credit, as we've been talking about, Diggs has had a great season. Hunter Henry is a nice fit. Although I always feel like with Hunter Henry, there's like one or two plays a game where it's just like, man, it was, and I think about that Bills game specifically. He made a perfect throw on third and long, and he just went right through his hand.
Yeah.
You couldn't, in that fourth quarter, it could not have been a more perfect throw from Drake May. And it's like, you only have so few quarterbacks in the league that can make those types of throws. Please make those catches. Otherwise, though, he's obviously been a great fit. Those two have very good chemistry. That's why when you were asking me before, is this team a Super Bowl contender? I think from the AFC picture, again, without Mahomes, without Burrow this year, and again, Lamar being hurt, I feel that they can compete to be the AFC representative, where I wouldn't say, okay, they're the quote-unquote Super Bowl favorite. It's still an incomplete team, I think, all the way around. Even though they're a good team and much, much more improved, I do look at this group and say, all right, they're one piece away. And Brian mentioning the Kansas City, you know, the wide receivers that they have, even though he's past his prime, you know, or had been the last two Super Bowls, Kelsey's still a Hall of Famer, right? Rashee Rice, especially for that offense, was such a good fit and such a perfect guy for Mahomes to have. I'm looking at like the receivers here on ESPN, just make sure I've got everybody in front of me. Like, none of these guys are Hall of Famers, even though Diggs has had a heck of a career.
Yeah.
But as we talked about, a little bit past what his total peak was. I just feel like they're a little short there for this season, which makes it more interesting when you get to next year and in that first round, do you try to go after, you know, a wide receiver in the first round? And we talked about that last year when we did the show together, and I forget where I stood on it, but I at that point, it's like, okay, you got to build the offensive line. We got to make sure this guy doesn't get killed.
Right.
Right. Protect the franchise.
And hindsight 2020, you were kind of right by doing that.
Yeah.
And you've made it work with a wide receiver room that, to me, is still, I think, one piece away in a matchup against a team in the AFC that is at worst top six in the league in pass defense. Because it's a really, and I know I mentioned that last segment, but it's a really interesting landscape that the Patriots go into in a potential playoff matchup against good teams against the pass. Brian, anything else you wanted to add?
Well, we saw at the end of the Buffalo game, and this is sort of when this conversation really, I feel like, took off, where the receivers weren't good enough. At the end of that game, you know, when Drake May had the ball twice with a chance to take the lead or just win the game, the receivers didn't really get open. Now, could Drake May have done more with his legs? Could he, you know, have tried to fit balls in, you know, certain windows? Absolutely. But we sort of saw that at those last couple plays where nobody was really getting open. Do you have guys who can win man-to-man coverage? Stephon Diggs is excellent in zone. I think he's one of the best receivers in the league at finding the soft spot in the zone and sitting down and getting first downs, whether it's third and six, whether it's third and eight, whatever the case may be. I think the issue is they still don't really have guys who can consistently win one-on-one.
Right, and if you're facing a team that has a decent pass rush and you got to get the ball out quickly, unfortunately, you're going to need a guy who can just win that matchup. Even if it's not the most perfectly drop-in-the-bucket throw that we've seen Drake May make this year, you need a guy that can win that and make up for some
sins. And you guys talked about Kyle Williams. It feels like all of his big plays, all of his seven catches, are usually throws that are dropped in the bucket by Drake May.
Right, exactly, which is why he has seven receptions on 16 targets and three touchdowns. So when he catches it, it's great. Does he catch it? About, you know, 35 to 40% of the time. But the wide receivers will continue to be a focus as we move down the stretch. Two games remaining in the regular season, and then a playoff matchup. And a question from the text line that caught our eye during the last break. Patriots playing at home. It's a near, I mean, it is a certainty that you're going to do that, but does it make you nervous that the Patriots would be playing their first round matchup at home based on the way they performed? That plus an update on the Pro Bowl voting and who didn't get in for the Patriots. We'll do all that next.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The sports yakker, the linebacker, and the wisecracker. Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.
Dillon hits it. And the return by Marcus Jones. He can fly. Still going. Still going. No flags. Touchdown, Patriots. He had a pick six last week. And a man who is a threat, whether it's on offense, defense, or special teams, goes 94 yards for the touchdown.
Well, voters for the NFL Pro Bowl needed to rewatch The Breakfast Club before casting their votes because they did leave Marcus Jones behind. Now, the numbers say one thing, but I just wanted to read this. This was from December 2nd on NESN. We're back here on WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball, Joe Weil with you. Marcus Jones is officially the greatest punt returner in NFL history. That's the lead from NESN. The New England Patriots star immediately made his mark on Monday's 33-15 win over the New York Giants. You just heard that play on the Giants' first punt of the game in the first quarter. Jones returned at 94 yards for a jaw-dropping touchdown, extending the Patriots' lead to 10-0 with his second punt return score of the season. It was the 75th punt return of Jones's career, enough to qualify for the NFL record books. His career average of 14.6 yards per return is now officially the highest in NFL history, minimum of 75 returns. So it's been a memorable season in that regard for Jones. It's also been, I'd say, a statement year for him as the nickel corner on this defense as well. I think he's shown to be the level of tackler for his size that maybe not a lot of people thought. He makes up for some of the sins of the inconsistencies of Carlton Davis and how available he is. And then a year for Christian Gonzalez, who ironically enough is a Pro Bowler this year, that maybe hasn't lived up to expectations. So the voting that we saw yesterday in the top 10, Drake May was second, Hunter Henry eighth, Garrett Bradbury eighth, Christian Gonzalez sixth, Harold Landry ninth, Brendan Schooler fifth. So to compare Marcus Jones to who ended up making it on the AFC side, Shamari DK, he has 1,535 kick return yards as well as 382 punt return yards. Marcus Jones, just a punt returner at 363. So no Pro Bowl nomination for Marcus Jones. Would you consider that to be the classic word that I saw thrown around on Twitter earlier today? Is that a snub?
I think so. Happy Festivus, I guess, you know, because the airing of grievances for us and for Marcus Jones most specifically. Like, yeah. I mean, I think he's definitely got a reason to be upset considering this season that he has had. Happy Festivus to everybody. But if you have your grievances, this is the show to get it.
Absolutely.
617-779-7937. But and especially about this topic, too. And especially with where the Patriots are at this year, as we've been talking about here for the last hour. I mean, to only have two is a little surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's two guys we thought would be in that picture, Drake May. I mean, he's the obvious one, and then Christian Gonzalez, too. And again, I guess to give us a little bit of perspective, you know, again, we talked about that Raiders loss week one and not having Christian Gonzalez for that game, and then Drake May not playing well at all in that game.
Yeah.
To then have the perspective of these guys end up being Pro Bowlers, that's huge. Obviously, they're so young. They're franchise pillars. But yeah, I would have loved to see Marcus Jones also get that award, and I do feel like there was a snub there.
Your quarterbacks, Drake May, as well as Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, as we mentioned a few moments ago. Running back, Devin Achane, James Cook and Jonathan Taylor. Fullback is Patrick Ricard. The wide receiver group, Ja'Marr Chase, Nico Collins, Cortland Sutton, and a guy who Patriots fans just saw play in Zay Flowers. Those are your four with Brock Bowers and Travis Kelce. As
interesting.
Your two tight ends. That, to me, shows you a couple things, or maybe really just one. The system maybe could use a little bit of an extra element of consideration, however you want to mix that in, because Travis Kelce just got a Lifetime Achievement Award for the Pro Bowl this season, to me.
Well, and the problem is, I think the problem, too, with that is, you look at like other sports that get it. You know, you watch their all-star games, right? In MLB, and you know, think of like Clayton Kershaw, right?
Yeah.
Getting a chance to be a part of, you know, the all-star game this last year, and just how fun that was, like watch him pitch in that game, and like, the back and forth he was having with John Smoltz.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
While the problem with the NFL is these games. I mean, again, who watches this, right? Any of the Pro Bowl stuff? I don't know. Do you watch it?
Will not and have not.
Well, and that to me is the problem. It's like, okay, if you're going to, like the Lifetime Achievement Award thing, it's more fun when the players actually get involved in something that people actually watch. Like Michael Jordan's like last All-Star game or Kobe Bryant's last All-Star game. You know, all those types of moments where it does feel like you really get a chance to watch all this come together. Whereas in the NFL, it just doesn't matter. So
yeah.
I don't like that. I mean, he's not worthy of the award this year, at least in my opinion.
No, it's a vote between fan, players, and coaches, just to refresh those that don't know. Each group's vote counting equally, one-third toward the final selection for both the AFC and NFC teams. So somebody stuffed the ballot box, and I'm sure I can guess who. Congratulations to the Swifties. Brian, was Marcus Jones a Pro Bowl snub?
I think so. I mean, I think you can compare punt return stats with anybody, and it's sort of hard to, you know, really quantify it. I mean, obviously the average return for the career is something. I think the biggest surprise was that he's on a successful team, right? Patriots are 12-3.
Yeah.
You look at the Tennessee Titans, who are vying for a top five pick in the NFL draft. Not to mention, there's a lot more name value with Marcus Jones. Not saying he's a household name, but he's been a Pro Bowler before. He's been in the league for a while. I was surprised they didn't sort of give it to him. Kind of what we were just talking about with Travis Kelce, right? Was Travis Kelce the most deserving tight end to get into the Pro Bowl this year? Probably not.
Right.
But he's been there before. People know the name. I feel like Marcus Jones, is he as big of a name as Travis Kelce? Of course not, but certainly a bigger name than DK.
And he was your AFC Defensive Player of the Month, and I think it was September.
And he's a guy who isn't just known for special teams, right?
You heard
that rejoin that we came back with on that punt return touchdown. Joe Buck talked about, well, he had a pick six last week, and now another punt return touchdown this week. Like, he does a lot of things, and not saying that he would be a defensive Pro Bowler, but he does so many things, and he's made so many big plays that people just sort of know the name Marcus Jones.
No, and I think you're right about that, too. Just in that, I think his versatility that he's shown on the defensive side of the football this year is probably hurting him in that regard. Where is he a Pro Bowl corner? No. Is he the best punt returner in football, statistically speaking? No. But when you combine all of those things, is he probably one of the better athletes in football? And also a really nice guy, a good soundbite and a good representative for a Patriots team that's, you know, on the cusp of getting a number one seed in the AFC. Yes, yes, and yes. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. Sorry, Joe, I cut you off there.
No, all I was going to just say is, well, actually, what I was going to quiz you guys on the three teams that didn't have any Pro Bowlers.
Oh, my God. They got to be bad. Raiders?
No, because Brock Bowers.
Oh, Brock Bowers. That's right. I read that. Brian, any guesses? Giant? Do the Giants have one? Is anybody healthy from
the
Giants?
I'll say New Orleans Saints.
Okay, that's one.
Okay, Giants?
Giants did have. They're represented.
They are represented.
Jets, too.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead. You're hot. You're welcome.
I'm going to cut that.
I'll just give it to you if you can't get it here.
I know the Jaguars only got a long snapper, right?
It's the Minnesota Vikings.
Wow. Whoa.
They didn't get any Pro Bowlers.
There you go. J.J. McCarthy is so bad that Justin Jefferson is not a Pro Bowler this year. There you go. That's all I need to know about nine. All right, 617-779-7937. Plenty more to get to on the Patriots. We'll revisit that later on in the show. Coming up next, it's the three-point stance. And Brian and I both have opinions on the Boston Bruins. Somebody's going to be in the building here tonight. We'll tell you what to know on that. And Joe Weil has a plan for the future for the Boston Red Sox. Somebody might as well. We'll tell you those in the three-point stance next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.